Christ would be lifted up. And if that occurs, we'll all get a blessing. So I encourage you to follow the Lord. I don't know how to conduct a service, I know that if God gets involved, then it'll be right. And so I encourage you to follow the Lord as well. I'd like to preface with this. I know many of you remember Brother Junior Moore. I love Brother Junior. Well, he could sing and preach and had a great desire. Well, I've had some medical issues, and I've had three discs replaced, and I've got a condition for Dr. Mike's benefit. It's called cervical dystonia, which means my muscles in my neck don't communicate with my brain, so it looks like I got a crick in my neck sometimes. So if I look at you funny, it's a medical condition. I get shots and treatment for that. It's been going on for 10 or 15 years. No known cause, no known cure. Not asking for your sympathies this morning. It's something I've had to deal with. But I was preaching a revival over at Fairview at Woodburn. And I've known Brother Junior for years. There was people saved that week. And Brother Junior had been in attendance, and the Lord had blessed us. And he looked at me, he said, "Preacher, you got a crick in your neck." So I started talking, "Well, Brother Junior, you know, yeah, I've got this problem. It's usually kind of hard to explain. I usually tell people, yeah, it's just a nerve problem." But I started into all that, and Brother Junior, Lord rest his soul, he was sitting in his wheelchair, just had his leg amputated. And he preached more in that rehab center, saw people saved. But he was sitting there in that wheelchair. And he was at church. He had just gotten out. And already had one leg removed. He looked up at me, and he kind of stopped me with all that medical talk and said, "Well, brother, I guess all I can say is this. I guess you are just a stiff-necked Baptist preacher." So that kind of goes along with what I want to talk to you about today. You know, it seems like for the past couple years, I've lightened up some messages. Are light, some are heavy. I've tried to encourage God's people. I don't know why the Lord wants me to go this direction today, but all I know to do is to follow the Lord. And, you know, the title of my message is... Are you really a Baptist? And, you know, and if you can say about me today, when I walk out of here, there goes a Baptist preacher, I'll take that as a great compliment. Now, I know this is probably maybe the most sound church in this area. And I'm not here to rail on anybody, but I hope that this encourages you this morning. And my reading lesson will come from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now, a lot of people will take issue with this, but I believe that the Lord only created one church. I believe I'm standing in a Baptist church this morning. And I am proud to be a Baptist. Are you? Now, I believe a Baptist is somebody that follows the Bible. And I believe that we have a great heritage and history. I'm not a historian. I may try to throw a little history at you. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a scholar. But, you know, and there are men that are more capable than bringing some things out than I am. But I believe that the Lord only created one church. I believe He created it during the time of His personal ministry. I know it may be a little debate over the details, but it was set up by Jesus Christ. Now, is He your shepherd? He's the shepherd of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. He's the great shepherd. Now, y'all are in a position where you're praying that he'll place an under-shepherd here to serve you. And I pray that he does. You know, and Paul says here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, let me go ahead and get my reading done. I got to move on. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, believe that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, I could reprimand everyone. I could lay a stripe right down the back of every one of us because we're all called to emulate or live like Christ did, to walk worthy of our vocation with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, what is the most important doctrine in the church? The most important doctrine, the most important thing, certainly it's salvation, is it not? That if we get that wrong, we might as well just throw it all away and just go home. I believe in being born again. Don't y'all believe that? I believe a person must have an experience with God. And I believe after you have an experience with God, you ought to unite with a local church. Now, if you've never been saved, you need to get that worked out with God. You need to be saved. And you need to know that you're saved. If you're here and you're unsure of your salvation, you need to seek God till you get that assurance. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you need to tell it and become a part of the local church. You need scriptural baptism. Now, the word in the Bible that's used for church is it's ecclesia. There's a 25-cent word for you. They might go up to 30 cents here in a minute. I don't know. If I get one wrong, one of you guys that's smarter than me, correct me. But it's used 36 places for the word church. 75 places in the plural, 75 places in the singular in the New Testament. Ecclesia is the Greek word that means church or called out congregation. And it's talking about a local visible body of born again baptized believers. With Billy Moran and Jerry Miller and all the other pastors you had and Don Curtis sitting over there. I know you already know this, but I don't know why. But I'm here to remind you that it's a privilege to be a part of the Lord's church. You know, I believe she's the apple of his eye. I believe he takes great pride upon looking at her. And you know, it's a privilege this morning that we have to come and worship. And if you're a part of this church or some other church, don't take that privilege for granted. But thank God for his church, because she has been entrusted with the preaching of the gospel. She has been empowered with the Holy Spirit. He has promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. He would be your guide. You need a preacher, he's going to send you a preacher. You need salvation, you trust the Lord, and through the Holy Spirit, he'll provide it. But oh, my friends, you know, there's many words in the Bible. The assembly, the building, a company, a flock, a lamb, the woman, the wife. She's the bride. She's the apple of his eye. And listen, we shouldn't take it for lightly. I do believe that the church, you know, it has always existed from the time of Jesus Christ to the time that we stand in today. And I also believe she'll be standing someplace, somewhere, when the Lord Jesus returns. And by the looks of things, it may not be very long. I'm thankful that the gospel's being preached in different ways and different manners. That we hear of people being saved in different countries. I stand on the shoulders of the works of my brethren. I've had the privilege to go to Africa, you know, because of our brothers' works. And, you know, I've seen what God can do. And I've been to Jamaica with Dr. Mike. And I've seen what God can do. And, you know, I'm telling you, we need him right here, right now, today. Somebody needs him in a special way. whether you're going through difficulty, whether you need salvation, he can take care of that. All right, let's move on. I don't know, I'll just let the Lord lead me in this, but I'll tell you what. People that believe like we do today were considered bigots, dogmatic, and legalistic. In the eyes of the ecumenical world or the church world or whoever is looking at us, that's the way they look at us. But I'm telling you, if God will open their eyes, you know, I believe that, you know, there's a direct line and a lineage, a belief system that's been handed down by Jesus Christ himself through the preaching of the apostles, through the early church, through the dark ages, through the times of persecution. There was a man in the 16th century. He was a theologian. He joined up with a group of people known as the Anabaptists. This man's name was, if I say it correctly, Balthazar Hubemeyer. But he made a statement. He was one of the Anabaptists. He said, the first mark of a true church is regeneration. Now, what does that mean? The first mark of a true church is regeneration, or you know, you must be born again. That's what regeneration is. Regeneration must precede church membership, and there can be no baptism without the prior experience of regeneration, and no church membership without baptism. Now, do we still require testimony for somebody to become a part of the church? We're probably the only ones left that do that. John the Baptist did it. Those in the early church did it. Those down through the ages have did it. We still do it. You must be born again. This Anabaptist met his fate. You see, they refused infant baptism. They refused to join up with the state church, which was also the law of the authority. They suffered great persecution. They would be beheaded, and their heads would be lined along the streets as a warning to others. The man who made this quote I just read you in 1527, 2 years later, his wife, who refused because of her belief, was strangled to death and thrown and plunged into the river because of our faith. Let me tell you something. We are not a Protestant church. You know what a Protestant church is? I know you do. You've been taught this. This is probably Sunday school stuff to you guys. I don't know why I'm preaching this today, but it's what the Lord wants me to give you. It's what I'm going to give you. A Protestant church was one that protested the Reformation movement. It means you come out of the Catholics. We didn't come out of the Catholic church. We've always been. We are not Protestant. We're Baptist. And I take those words of Brother Junior Moore. I said, Brother Junior, that's the greatest compliment anybody's ever given me. So I hope you'll call me a stiff-necked Baptist preacher when I walk out the door this morning. You know, we're not Protestant, and it's important to note the things that we believe, the identifying marks in the Lord's church. You know, there were many groups before them. I know y'all have read Trail of Blood and all that stuff, but, you know, that is one of the primary doctrines that we believe, and we teach salvation correctly, that we're still teaching people how to be saved, and we're still allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work. You see, a lot of groups out there have gotten ahead of the Holy Spirit, you know, and if you leave the Holy Spirit out of regeneration, you have no regeneration at all. You know, one group says baptism saves you. They call that baptismal regeneration. Well, I tell you what's going on right around next door to us. I don't know if I made this name up or not. I call it decisional regeneration. You make up your mind and you save. It don't work that way, folks. I got Holy Ghost salvation in my soul. When I got saved October the 20th, 1974, I'm a Tennessee hillbilly. Sorry if you're all you Kentucky folks here. But I'm from East Tennessee, and I was in a little country church, and there was a man preaching the gospel to me. And he come out of the old regular Baptist. If you know any Baptist history, you can look it up yourself. But I tell you, he was preaching the gospel to me. All I knew was that I was lost. I was at an early age. I knew that I was lost and separated in sin. And, I went home that day. I told my mama. She gave me the best advice any mama could ever give their child if they say those words to you. She said, well, you're just going to have to pray. You're just going to have to pray. Well, I waited about a week. That next Sunday night came around. Sunday morning passed, Sunday night hit, and boy, the preacher was preaching again. And it was just like he was preaching it to me. And I was sitting on the left side of the church, and I stood up as he was begging people to come to the altar, my knuckles gripping the back of that seat. But you know what? I let go that night. I not only let go of that bitch, I let go of whatever was in my way, and I made it out in the middle of the aisle, and that burden of sin left, and peace came in, friends. That was in 1974. And I went down to the altar, but I was already saved before I even got there. I knew it. I joined the church that night. I tell you what, if you've been saved, you need to be a part of the Lord's church. I got baptized in a cold, ice-broken lake up in East Tennessee not many days hence. I haven't always done what the Lord has wanted me to do. I make a lot of mistakes, still making a lot of mistakes. He made me a Baptist back then. And I want to still be one today because I believe that Bible doctrine is Baptist doctrine, and Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine. So there's some identifying marks. Right here's one of them. The Word of God. Baptists have always believed or were intensely biblical people. Sola Scriptura. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. Listen, the Word of God. It's what we need. The Word of God governs us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word. I know we are coveted together. And the covenants we have, you have one hanging on your wall. I believe these align with the Scriptures. We're a group of people that have coveted together. And I believe those things we have agreed to do when we become members of the Lord's church, that we'll live a certain way, we'll do certain things. We enter into a covenant agreement. We find those examples throughout the Scriptures. We have the Word of God. Another identifying mark to the Baptist church. We may be waning on some today is they've always been evangelistic. We've been witnesses. How many of you have shared your testimony with someone this week? I'm not going to ask for hands. How many of you have shared your testimony this week? I'm going to tell you a little story. I may get in trouble here. That's all right. I get in trouble everywhere I go. Women like to shop, don't they? Y'all ladies like to shop. My wife likes to shop. She was shopping this week. I think she told me she was in Marshall's because they had a sale. Boy, sale really gets people out shopping, right? Well, I'll tell you what happened. There was a lady that she met in there that said, can I share? She said something about church. My wife talks, she works in the school system, and she talks a lot about church. She probably does a better job witnessing to people than I do. But anyway, the subject of church came up, and the lady asked her, can I tell you my, she said, what was the word she said? She said, I was born again. Can I tell you about it? Immediately, if they're not one of us, that word might be used loosely. It might not mean the same thing. So, you know, my wife says, sure. And the lady laid out a testimony that brought tears to your eyes and asked her if she could share hers. And she did. My wife was saved at home in her bed. But, you know, we are all called. You are a called out congregation. You have something in you, the Holy Spirit, that is greater than anything in the world, and we are to share the love of God with the world. I tell you what, you know, we can debate doctrine, we can debate, you know, this, that, and the other. You share that testimony, you know, let them chew on that for a while. Do you have it or don't you? If you ain't got it, you need to get it. There's a little Tennessee hillbilly for you. So, evangelistic, the only group requiring a notable conversion experience. We ask people to tell that they've been saved. We have no head and founder except for Jesus Christ. He is the head and founder. He is the chief shepherd. Our polity is congregational. We don't have a governing board. We don't have a man ruling over us. Listen, that's why it's up to you, church, to find the will of God and the will of the Holy Spirit and follow Him. And let me tell you something else. You ought to be in agreement about it, whatever it is. Amen. I don't know anything about you. I'm just a stiff-necked Baptist preacher. We believe in the personal freedom of the individual to approach God. We have no other intercessor other than Christ. Isn't that right? You know, aren't you glad that you can go directly to God? That's what the real churches believe, no matter what it's been called. There is no intercessor. You know, I read the testimony of Martin Luther one time. Now, I didn't agree with all of his. He came out of the Catholic Church. He was accredited with starting the Reformation movement, where Protestants came from. But Luther got under conviction after reading the book of Hebrews and about the high priest, and realized that Christ was his only high priest. And in the writings of Luther, he said that, he was on his way down a path to the outbuilding, outhouse, and he acknowledged that Jesus Christ was his high priest, and his words was that he experienced a strange warming of the heart that he never experienced before. Luther rebelled against the Catholic Church, posted his 95 theses, nailed it on the door, 1595. Martin Luther, he started the Lutheran Church. But, you know, I believe at least the man got saved. Do you believe there's saved people everywhere in the world? Do you have to be in a Baptist church to get saved? Can you be a member of a church and not be saved? Yeah. Well, you can have your name on the church row. You don't have to be here. I believe there's saved people everywhere. Man, I got in a conversation with a guy one time that didn't believe like we did, and he kept evading the question, trying to say that it was in the water, and it got down to it. He broke down and told me, I'm trying to tell you, I got what you got. I said, where'd you get it? Was it when he got in the water? He said, no, I was sitting back in the pew and I was crying to God. And I felt peace in my soul. But he wouldn't leave that denomination he was with. Well, I'm already up to here. He wouldn't leave the Campbellites. He wouldn't leave the Church of Christ because his family was there. But I'll tell you what, he gave me a testimony, and he heard the truth. Some people say you ought not get that personal. Let's don't go calling names from the pulpit. I'll tell you what our forefathers did. Now, I need to hurry along just a little bit. There's a point I want to make. I don't want to keep you too long. But let me tell you something. I want to encourage you this morning and tell you just a little bit about where we came from. You know, some of you may have been to the church history tour in Virginia, but there was a time in our country when the Baptist people experienced severe persecution. James was a lot of mess going on, and they refused to do anything about it. I tried with love to correct that problem. I tried. It wasn't just one. It was multiple problems. But the church refused to do anything about it. Children born out of wedlock, people living together, sitting right in the congregation. Is that okay? No, it's not. That's stuff deacons needs to bring up. It's not stuff you preach about on Sunday morning, is it? Only if you're a stiff-necked Baptist preacher, I guess. But isn't that what our people have always believed? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Now, love and correction. Jesus loves you today. He loves his bride. I believe this is just as sound a church as there is in the country. So I just want to encourage you. Keep standing for his truth. Keep standing on the word of God. Move closer to Christ. That's who Baptist people are. They were people that loved the Lord. People that walked with God. People that desired a relationship. People that preached true salvation. And people that weren't afraid to stand up and speak the truth in boldness and love. So God bless you is my prayer. I love you this morning. You know what the difference between a Tennessee Baptist and a Kentucky Baptist is? I'm going to use my East Tennessee lingo to answer this. Well, I reckon there ain't none. You know, they used to make fun of me at Rayon City. I'd throw some corny jokes in there. But I love the Lord. My life hadn't been reflecting it like it should, and probably none of us has. We can all do better, can't we? But listen, I believe this is one of the Lord's churches. You listen to the Lord, you follow him, and he'll lead you and guide you. He hadn't left you comfortless. If there's anyone here, I want to make an appeal. If there's anyone here, if there's anything that you need to do, if you need to seek the Lord, if you need to get right with God, if you need to get right with the church, I don't know. But if there's anything that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, I want to have a song. I want to have an invitation. And this invitation is to follow God. If God's leading you to do anything, will you follow him? As we stand, Brother Strode, and have a song, the altar is open. If there's any need in your life, seek the Lord.
One ninety-six. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I'll still be a Baptist. God bless you.
Amen.
Anything on your heart this morning? Salvation this morning. Remember all the prayer requests and needs. Any other word, any announcements that need to be made.
Remember, we have business tonight at 6 o'clock. Business service at 6 o'clock.
Any other word? Pray for us. We'll pray for you. God bless you. It is our prayer. Hearts and minds free. But Don Curtis, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Holy Father, we thank you. We thank you for all the blessings you've bestowed upon us.